This morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, and so if you've followed along with us for the last couple weeks, we've been in a series where basically we're trying to answer the question of why we, so kind of like why we do some of the things that we do here in this church. And so it's not like that Dunkin' commercial, like doing things is what I like to do. It's kind of like, so we have reasons why we kind of do some of the things that we do here. And so we're hoping to answer some of those questions for you, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And so let me just get a quick drink and then I'll kind of go at it. So I think I've probably shared this story like 100 times since I've been here. And so when Melissa and I first started coming to New Life, it's been probably, 12 or 13 years ago now. It's been a while. Like for the first 5 or 6 years of us coming here, maybe even longer, so I'm just kind of guesstimating, Melissa and I were really not that connected to the people in this church. We were not connected, like, hardly at all to New Life, and so I'm not, like, saying anything negative about this. This isn't, like, me incriminating Pastor Keith. This is not me incriminating anybody in the church is, like, not being welcoming and not welcoming us. And I think that even, I would say this morning, if this is your first time in church, that even in the most welcoming churches, there are people that may not be welcoming. Okay, so that, and there may have been some of that, I'm just saying, but I don't, but it was really more, I'm incriminating myself this morning. So this was really kind of my plan for what happened on Sunday morning when Melissa and I would arrive, even before we had kids. So we would kind of come, I was a Bible college dropout at the time, and so I would come to church and really kind of wallow in my own pity. And so I had a game plan for Sunday mornings, okay? So Sunday mornings, I would come usually late, so probably later than what would be considered New Life time, like you guys know that, okay? And so I would arrive a few minutes late, and then my plan was to not talk to anybody or the least amount of people as possible, and then kind of like, you know, just jet out of here. Like, so I don't even know if for the first 5 or 6 years if we even served coffee. And so I apologize. I'm not like, I hope, Cheryl, I hope I'm not offending you. I'm sure that you did that and the hosting, they did that well. I did not want coffee. I just wanted out because I was afraid that people were going to talk to me. So we were just not connected to the church really at all, and it was kind of me. And so I knew that. So get this: I was a Bible college dropout. Knew that God had called me to like do like ministry somehow full time and invest in the lives of people, and yet I did not know how to like move. I didn't know where to go or who to turn to, and I didn't know. I didn't want people to come to me, and yet I was too. I had too much pride to go to somebody else and kind of pour my heart out because I was on like that opposite end and heard stuff in like churches and was trained in churches that people, you know, and they're going to do this and they're going to throw up all over you, vomit all their problems on you. And so I didn't want to do that to the pastor and to anybody else in this church. And I'm just saying, like, even in that, so we didn't want to connect with anybody. We didn't want to meet with people. We didn't want to do dinners with people. I mean, that was just, it was probably more me. It wasn't Melissa. I mean, that was just my thing. I was kind of taking the lead. And we did, and I'll promise you, we didn't get, like, pins. We didn't get any kind of, like, special stuff or attendance either. We were probably, like, once or twice a month or, you know, kind of a thing. And so something interesting kind of happened. And so Pastor Keith and Rita, It really kind of invested in me. I don't know why. He just kind of began to reach out to me. I don't know that he necessarily, I don't even think we've had this conversation really of why he did that. It's not like he saw this amazing talent in me, this great gift in me, even though there may be some. I don't think that he needed like more ministry volunteers, even though we probably needed some. And so he began to invest in me, and we began to meet, and we began to talk about the things of God, and we began to even pray sometimes and talk about just church stuff. And they would have us over for dinners, and I thought that was a really weird thing because I grew up in a church where my grandfather was a pastor, and everybody invited us over for dinners, and yet it was the opposite here where the pastor was inviting like his people that come to church to his house for dinner. So that kind of like, and so here's the thing that I learned. So what happened in just those intimate like moments that I began to kind of grow, and God started changing my life and began to change some of the attitudes that were in me and to get me moving. And he probably wanted to punch me out, and Rita probably too, for all those times that I mentioned about, oh, I'm a Zion dropout, and I'm going to be a pastor and preach and do it. And so he probably wanted to drop me and lay me out for that. And so, but he began to invest in me. And so here's what would happen. Like, I actually wanted to kind of come now on Sunday morning. I kind of wanted to talk to people because God was doing something in those small, like, environments, those small times around the dinner table that were not necessarily happening here on Sunday morning that I could not kind of immerse myself into. And so even before we started, like, partnership, what's known as partnership groups today, Pastor Keith began and Rita began to invest in my life and into Melissa's life and just began to walk with us as they walked with Jesus. And so so maybe your story this morning is kind of similar to mine. Like, maybe you've been coming here to New Life for just a little while and you're like, I'm not really connected to people. I mean, I'm kind of like, I say hi to people and instead of like, how's the weather? And you look nice today and the coffee's good and you really probably want some of that food. And so, but maybe you jet right out of here. I mean, maybe your story's kind of similar to mine. You don't know how to move. And I get, man, you have stuff sometimes afterwards. That's not what I'm saying here, but you kind of intentionally just don't, you want to come in here because you know that the music is good and maybe God has really even touched you in a way in your life. And Sunday. So I'm not saying that you're only here just for the music and that you're just here because the people are nice and they're welcoming, even though they are, but like you're just not completely connected. Maybe you're not even in one of these partnership small groups, and I'll kind of explain those a little bit more as we kind of walk through, but maybe you're not in one of those. You don't know how to get in one. Maybe like you've come to church like a bunch of times and maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time and you'd say, you know what? I remember those things. Like we used to do, we called them cell groups back in the day. And so like, you know what? We really don't need another Sunday school. We don't want to do that. Like, and it's kind of the flannel graph Jesus stuff and we're not going to, you know. And so maybe you're kind of the older generation and you think that you have like nothing to offer the younger generation this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you're just coming to church, and you would even say that, what happens like Monday through Saturday? Like, I mean, Pastor Keith has joked around it before that everybody gives him a hard time and says, well, I only work on Sundays. And so there's like stuff that kind of happens Monday through Saturday. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you're saying, what happens Monday through Saturday? And I would say this, that there's one thing that regardless of where you land this morning that we could probably all agree on. And that's this, that the most important relationships, probably our deepest, most meaningful relationships in our lives are the ones that we've spent intimate amounts of time with, that we've actually put effort into, that we've actually gone out of our way, that we've had to make sacrifices, that there's been give and take. And those are probably, I think all of us, no matter whether you're following Jesus this morning or you're not, or you're kind of curious about the whole thing, and you would even say that maybe those small groups, that sounds a little cultish to me. I would think that we could all agree on that the most meaningful, deep relationships in our lives are the ones that we actually spend time investing in and that we sacrifice and that we make a priority of committing ourselves to being a part of those relationships. And so I would say this, maybe you kind of feel that same way, maybe you kind of agree with me, but I would say this morning, that we want to be intentional here at New Life about creating those like small group environments to where we're deliberate about growing in our faith and relationship to Jesus with other believers. And so maybe we've announced them a bunch of times and we'll do our spiel and I get the goofy kind of announcer boy stuff going and we'll talk about partnership groups and groups and why we do so much. So maybe that's your question this morning. Why do we do groups? Like, so what are they all about? Why do we do them? And what's the purpose? And what is that going to do for me? And maybe what can I get out of it? Or how am I going to contribute to that? And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be in verse 40, 41. And we'll kind of just follow that. Before that, I think we first started the series talking about baptism, and the first passage that Pastor Keith went to was in Matthew 28. It's the last couple of verses, 19 and 20. And in that chapter, Jesus kind of gave us a command, and he says this. If you've grown up in church or even in your Bible, it might say this says the Great Commission, okay? But Jesus gave this command to his followers, his disciples, that this, he said, go into all the nations and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, which is quite interesting. So Jesus gives us this command to go ahead and make disciples. So kind of that loose definition is make followers of me. basically make followers of me. And the thing that I want you to make followers of them, and what I want you to do is I want you to make followers of them about who I am and what I taught and all that I commanded while I did my earthly ministry. And that was kind of the gist of it. So his disciples were, and here's the thing. So when we start to read in Acts chapter 2, if it were not for Jesus finally ascending into heaven and then sending his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, to kind of empower them, to be with them, to teach them continually, to help them remember the commands and the things that Jesus did while he was here on earth and the way that he changed their lives, them to do that, the only way that that would be possible is for him to send his Holy Spirit. And so what we see in the beginning parts of Acts chapter 2 is that this group of believers kind of gathered together and were all in one accord, and God did this amazing thing, and we see this dramatic arrival of the Holy Spirit upon them. And then Peter, right, the dude, the disciple that went ahead and like denied Jesus three times, preached this like powerful, amazing sermon, and that was like the birth of the first mega church, okay? So if you have like opposition to mega churches, I'm just kidding. We're not like making any theology out of it. We're just, the first like mega church was in Jerusalem, okay? Just like it, there was like 3,000 people that came to the faith. So let's pick it up in verse 41. And so this is Luke now writing and painting this like beautiful picture of what the church, the early church looked like. After these people finally came to Jesus and they started following Jesus because of what the Holy Spirit was beginning to do in the believers that were already following him. And so in verse 42, actually we'll pick it up with verse 41, we'll say this. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So man, that's like an awesome church planning effort right there. Verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves, like they were, there was action taking place, they were intentional, and says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals. That was common meals, including the Lord's Supper, is what the scripture says. So there was like, they were just having, there were so many people, there were like 3,000 people that kind of came. Like, I don't think they could fit, kind of like, it was agreed that like, they probably couldn't fit all 3,000 people into the temple, into the churches that they were meeting, the synod, and all that kind of. So they were actually meeting and having meals like in homes and discussing and going over the scriptures in addition to their meeting place in the temple. He says this, he says, and they were, had meals and they shared meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Verse 43 says, and a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So God was doing something amazing in the community, in the world, in that area, in that specific time, that they were just in awe of what God was doing. There was like signs and wonders, and God was beginning to work, and God was beginning to do stuff in their lives, and they had this like reverence, this awesome fear for God because of what he was beginning to do in that community there. Verse 44 says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They shared everything they had. This is what they did. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They probably had, it was kind of like Oprah, they like pulled envelopes of money out under their chairs and That's me saying that. They sold their property and possessions and they shared the money with those in need, and they worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Like they actually kind of enjoyed doing it, is kind of what I'm getting out of this. Like they enjoyed kind of gathering together, not only in the temple, but in their homes and having meals. Like, I mean, the bread and wine, whatever they were doing. I mean, the meatloaf, even if it was dry, it kind of sounded like they were having, you know, they were generous in that, and they shared all that was in common, and they had great joy, and they were kind of content in God there. And it says this, and it says in verse 47, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And this was the result. This is the result here. It says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So God, this was like this perfect, okay? So before we get ahead of ourselves, you're probably saying, okay, but this was like the first early church. This was before like it started to get messy. And you are correct, because if you just start, you know, just read the next couple chapters, it gets messy in the church fast. Okay? It gets, people are like dying and people are lying and all kinds of crazy, people are greedy and then they have doctrinal stuff. So this is, I mean, that was the innocent church, and Luke here is writing in Acts, and he's just giving us this picture of kind of how that early church, maybe even the way that I would say that maybe God intended the church to kind of operate and move and organize themselves and live together in this beautiful way. And see, and the only way that they were able to do this, in fact, Jeff and I had this, and he kind of wrestled with me kind of, and we kind of talked it out and how they and why they, and it was really good. And so Peter did this amazing thing. If you were to read back into this sermon that he preached in power after denying Christ before, now he ascended, now he's this man that's full of power because of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of him, began to preach this amazing sermon. And really what he was preaching the straight gospel, which was this. He was telling the people who were around that were gathered on that day when the Holy Spirit came and arrived in such a dramatic way that he said this. He said that, listen, you and I were enemies of God, but God did this amazing thing in that he sent his only son, Jesus, and that whom you and me have blood on our hands for. Like, he came to earth and he did these miraculous signs and wonders, and he even died a gruesome death for doing so. And he declared that he was using, that he was laying his life down for everyone as the one sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could actually give reconciliation, that could reconcile them to God. And this, here's the thing that you can never miss, that the what Jesus did on the cross and died and rose again, not only for forgiveness of our sins, but it reconciled us to God and reconcile us one to another. That's important. So here's the reason, the one reason, right, Jeff? The whole reason that these people met in this way, that the church that Paul wrote about, the early church that he began to describe, the only reason they were able to meet in such a way, the only reason that they were able to devote themselves in such a way and consistently share the scriptures, consistently pray with one another, consistently share everything that they had out of generosity is because of Jesus, because of what Jesus had done and the good news of the gospel that was imparted into them and into their lives. And Jesus does this. He was calling them and creating this amazing community of people with different backgrounds. They were of different gender. Some were slave and some were free. And Jesus brought them all together and he created this amazing community. You might say that there were 3,000 people, but so what? There were maybe 4, 5, 20 that were meeting in homes together declaring, like Pastor Keith said, that Jesus is Lord. The only reason they met, the only reason they did the things that they did was because of what Christ had done in their lives. The only reason that you and I are gathered here this morning at New Life, that we set this time apart, is to, like Pastor Keith said, declare that Jesus is Lord. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. We would not be singing the songs that we would sing if it was not for him. We would not intentionally create small groups where you and I could begin doing some of the things that early church was doing if it was not for Jesus and the person and the work of who he was. And that's the gospel. That's the good news, that he would take people like us, ordinary people, messed up people. Some of us are really good people. Some of us are very wealthy people. Some of us are poor people. But he does this amazing thing. He calls us unto himself for no other reason, because we don't deserve it, but he calls us because he loves us so much, and that he gave his son Jesus and brings us together and makes us one community. And this is why the early church looked the way that it did. This is why they did the things that they did. And get this. They sold their stuff and gave stuff away. They sold land, which was like it is today, probably even in a bad economy. The things that were most important to them, and they gave them to people in need. That'd be like us gathering and giving stuff to the people in need. And because of the way that they were living, and only the gospel could do that, because the gospel changes the way that we live our lives. So he like calls it together and he creates this community. He's brought us together, but the way that we begin living when we follow Jesus is because of what the gospel has done and what the gospel has changed in our lives. Our attitudes begin to change. And here's the thing that I guarantee, that it probably was not in that big, huge context of the 3,000 people. I'm sure some of that happened. But I bet there was a lot of stuff that was happening when they were sitting around the tables, enjoying meals, and sharing the Lord's Supper together, and doing these things and praying for one another, and actually talking about, you know what, my marriage is messed up. I don't love my wife the way that I should, and my kids are sick. Not sick in the head, but maybe sick. I mean, like, they're sick physically, and maybe, like, maybe my parents are, one of my parents are dying, so they were probably dealing with some of the same stuff, but there was this community that was living in such a way because the gospel changed their lives that they were able to somehow afford them something of what they had. They were able to give something of themselves. They were devoted to that. They were committed to that, and only the gospel does that. Only the gospel, only the Jesus had already done in their lives would actually able allow any of us to be able to give in the ways that we give. Some of us can only give so far without that. And we're still going to want to hang on, but nothing else mattered to them. That was what it was about. The gospel changed their lives so much that nothing else mattered. That they found their complete joy in Christ alone. And their whole community was centered on that. Here's the thing you can't miss. It says that as they were doing all of this, they had favor not only within the community, but outside of the community. He said with all people. Because the way that they were living their lives, the way that the gospel changed their lives had such an impact in the community that they had favor with people outside of the community. What a brilliant idea. Amazing. Like, if churches in America did that, if, like, the way the gospel was changing our lives inside here, that somehow it was changing lives outside, and that there's favor outside. It was the gospel. And so here's the thing. This is the reason we do groups. I think we have, the way we have it written, our vision statement for partnership group, that's what we call them here, partnership groups, if you hear that name, why we do small groups. So it's really so that we can grow deeper in our faith and relationship to God with other believers through prayer, through scriptures, devoting ourselves to some of the things that the disciples did, the early followers of Jesus, the early church, and the whole, and we're devoted to do it. And here's the thing, we want to actually be intentional about that. It's the whole reason we're doing that. We're doing that so that we would be intentional about devoting ourselves to these things, because here's the thing, God does some amazing things in and through the people in that context that he would not otherwise accomplish. Not that he can't, but that otherwise does not get accomplished when you're alone or when you're in a big, big corporate setting like this. He does some amazing things. I love that. I didn't even know that was going to be up here. Jesus was in a small group, just saying. Like, in that group, man, something was happening. Like, with the 12. Something was probably happening even deeper with the 3. Peter, James, and John. That's why probably Peter, his life is so, even though he denied Christ, that's why his life was so impacted afterwards, and he was able to preach sermons and be a leader of the early church in such a way that he did because of that deep, meaningful relationship that he had with Jesus. The early church lived this way in the large setting, even in the small setting, because of the gospel, because of what I just explained. So I think, here's what I would say. I would say that is why we do groups. To be intentional about creating opportunities for all of us to be able to get into that small context and be able to wrestle with those things that are on our minds, that are on our hearts, those things that we're curious about. Even this week, it was funny. Our group, we kind of talked about grace, one of the things that we hear all the time in church, but we didn't have a definition for it. But nobody wants to ask that on a Sunday morning. You probably can't anyway. That's kind of what happens. We want to be intentional. But so here's my question. So that's why we. But my question, I do have a question for you guys this morning, is why not me? This is why we, but why not me? This is why we do groups here at New Life. Like, as we look through the scriptures and we just read through, like, I can't come up with some theology or biblical mandate to do small groups. Like, it's not here. like we're just following a pattern that seemed to work. Other churches may do it differently, but here's the reason why we because we want to, we've seen what happens in those small group environments. And so now we want to create something for a way for you to go ahead and do that. And so here's the thing. I'm asking this question because it's a very legitimate question. This is not just another plug for partnership groups. I promise you, it's not another plug for partnership groups. We're taking the next 3 months off in the summer. It's not another plug for that. It's not to make anybody here feel guilty if you're not a part of one. It's not a part of that. You might be saying, Jason, yes, it is. It is. You're manipulating. That's on you, not on me. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing this morning. Maybe you'd say, you know what, but there's some people in here that I just don't get along with. Like, I don't want to be next to those people because they rub me the wrong way. Gospel. Yes, that will happen. Those people rug me, and probably the biggest one. I'm busy. I'm just so stinking busy. Like, where do I fit it into my schedule? I totally get you. I've got a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. And we're like in the thick of that stuff right now. Like, we're, I mean, the work, both of us, were, and I'm not a hero here. That's not what I'm saying. The work, the sports, all of that kind of stuff, we do it. But yet, here's the thing. I think even in all of that busyness, even in all of that good stuff that some of us are doing really well, some of us not so well, we're probably trying to juggle it. And I'm also saying that, yes, I know that there's time for us to take time. There's time for us to rest, schedule priorities, make family priority, make all of this stuff priorities, and time to reset and take a breather and step back and not be involved in anything. I understand all that. Believe me, that's not what my goal is, not to make anybody feel guilty about not being in a small group this morning, but I'm so afraid for you this morning that there might be somebody that's in here this morning that even in that busyness that you're actually feeling alone, that you're isolated, that you have tons of friends, you have tons of stuff to go to, and yet at the end of the day when you pull the covers over your head that you would probably cry yourself to sleep because you might even be alone to the person that's sitting next to you. You might be so far away from that person sleeping next to you. You may be so far away from your kids. You may be so far in all of that busyness. You're so isolated and so alone like I was, not knowing where to turn, even in a church environment. Being a Sunday to Sunday kind of a Christian like I was. I'm so afraid that you're isolated, and here's the reason why I'm so afraid. Because the gospel, I don't even know if this is, I read this, and sorry for spitting. If there was, so I'm not taking this. I'm crediting somebody. If this is somebody's quote, I can't remember where it came from. If not, if it was original, praise God, and I don't know, tweet it or something. Here's the thing. The gospel does not call us into isolation, but the gospel calls us to community. The gospel calls us to community. And you might say, but you know what? I can do the Sunday morning thing. I grow here. And I can grow. And the number one reason that you'll probably hear from a lot of people is, you know what? I don't even need to come to church. Never mind doing a small group. Like, I can grow on my own. Like, my prayer life in this, that's awesome. I mean, I worship in my car and woohoo, and we praise God and we do all this and that. That is good. And yes, I recommend that you do that. But here's the thing. That while that is vertical, while that relationship is vertical to God and that he does this amazing thing, he kind of like starts to move you and stir your heart and do all these amazing things as you spend that time alone with him. The application of the gospel, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, is always horizontal. There's always application. So what God is doing in your heart as you spend your time alone with him, as you wrestle with him, as you pour your heart over the scriptures, that now he's requiring some kind of action. In the same way that the apostles devoted themselves to do this kind of stuff, God is requiring of you now to begin to apply those things that he's kind of put in your heart and in your life, and the changes that he wants to make needs to come out of you to the people that are sitting around you in this community. And just like he did, that's when growth happens. We grow deeper. And if God is gracious, we'll grow wide. If God is gracious, we'll grow wide. See, it's easy for us to look here and say, God, he added 3,000 people. He was just building his church. God was doing, if you actually start to read though, and then there's some, and through Acts, there are some amazing things that happen with just one, two people, where God begins to use people. Why? Because their relationship with God was so deep. And you can't tell me that it was just because, and I know some of you, if you've been around church and you're a Bible scholar, you're going to say, well, okay, John on the island of Patmos is all by himself, and he had this amazing vision, like, and Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, and Jesus was like really spiritual. Those people wrestled in community. So here's what I'm going to try to do. I didn't run this by Pastor Keith, so I promise it's nothing bad. I said that he and I never had, I don't think we've ever had the conversation of why he began to invest in me. So I'm going to try to answer that for him this morning. And he'll feel, and he's the pastor, so he has like permission to rewrite the story. So, I think I said earlier that like I don't think he saw this like amazing gift and talent like in me. Even though there may have been some, like I don't think that again he needed more volunteer ministry leaders, even though there may have been a need somewhere. I so think the reason, and I was saying that in an endearing way, not disrespectful. The whole reason I think that they invested in our lives was because of what the gospel did in their own. Because I think that what happened was somebody somewhere along the line, even before he had this idea of partnership groups, that somebody somewhere grabbed him by the hand and said, follow me as I follow Jesus. And so he probably saw somebody, maybe, and I know that it was God kind of a thing that just said, because he's done this with other people in this church. It's not like this, I'm special kind of a thing, but it was him being obedient to God and saying, yes, I will begin to invest in this person because somebody invested in me. And it was in that small setting. It was in that small, small, intimate settings where meals were shared and one-on-one conversations and all those things happened. And maybe even gifts were exchanged and all that kind of stuff happened. And so things began to change in my life because one person, two person began to invest themselves in me. Why? Because God had done something in their lives, most likely through somebody else. It probably wasn't on just a Sunday morning praise and worship service. Because they probably weren't able to ask the questions. I think that's the reason why he invested in me. So that's the whole reason. And here's the thing. I'm convinced. I need the small groups. I need partnerships. You would say, Jason, well, oh, hey, you want to be like ministry guy, dude. You want to be, and you want to kind of do that kind of thing. And that's all about, and so, yes, and you want position and do all that kind of stuff. And that's like so important to you. And that's, here's the thing. Like, it's not a big deal for me to, and I'm not saying that as being a hero. Like, I can take my stuff and, like, go to Dunkin' Donuts and kind of read through my stuff for my small group. But here's the thing that I realized, and this happened even this trimester as we began, that we did not get anybody to sign up for our group. And then the way the logistics just kind of changed, we were able to get some people. And I'll be honest, I was looking forward to taking just 12 weeks off and just kind of sitting back in another partnership, not having to prepare, not having to do, and just to be able to kind of, okay? And there's times for that, and we make times for that, and I think we all need that. But I found that I need it. And so here's what happened in just our first meeting. Because I think, like, it's a, like, people think sometimes it's a big deal to, like, lead a group. And yes, it's, we want you to be responsible and all that. There's a whole bunch of qualifications, okay? If you're breathing, and we will take you. here's the thing. Where was I going with that? Mark, help me out again. So here's the thing. First group meeting we had. Like, the way the logistics kind of came about, it was like we started a few weeks later, whatever, and it was like, okay, we're together, we're doing this, and yes, and we've got a few people. I realized more in me wanting to, like, take that 12 weeks off. In that first, I realized how much I need that small group. How much I need it. Because here's what happened. This is like true. So Melissa and I are leading one together, a parenting one, okay? And it's not because we're awesome parents. We're trying to figure it out like the rest of you guys who are parents. And so here's the thing. In that first group, I was sitting back. And it was the first time I was able to kind of lead one with my wife. In that moment, I was like, these people are like so impacting my lives because of the commitment that they're beginning to make. Just that, that's a huge commitment, just saying, yes, I will join a group. And then actually coming and being a part of the community. Overcoming, because the gospel does this thing. It helps you to overcome your fear of doing that. It helps you to overcome and deal with the personality that you may not like in that group. It helps you to overcome all of that stuff. And so this is what happened in that first group for me, that I was sitting there, and even just as my wife was exchanging with some of the people within the group, I was going, thank you, God. Like, this is why you created me. I began to grow and began to even my offend. They'll make fun of me for this. This isn't my saying, but it's another pastor. I like this. My affections were beginning to get stirred, and I was even looking at my wife and saying, oh, God, thank you for her. Like, this is what it's all about. Like, these people that we're all just kind of broken, and we're all just trying to figure this stuff out, and like, we're not great parents, and we're trying to come up with ways and try to examine and try to do activities and all this kind of stuff. But in that context, really what we're doing is like what you said last week, declaring that Jesus is Lord. So I'm convinced that when we come together, again, this is not to give you more friends, because I'm sure you have plenty of them. It's not to give you more Facebook friend requests or more Twitter followers or any of that kind of stuff, or give you another thing to go to. But here's the whole reason. The whole reason is that I'm convinced that when the gospel, the pure gospel, does something in our lives, that it will actually flow out of our lives when we begin to be intentional about growing deeper in our faith and relationship to God with other people, with other believers. Because then what happens is the gospel flows out of our lives, hopefully outside of these walls. Excuse me. So the coolest thing that happens out of all of this is when we go to things like funerals. People are like, oh, hey, that's New Life. Not because New Life is something special, but hey, we kind of heard about you guys, like you guys are so close-knit. Like when a parent dies and you go to like a funeral, and they're there. Like when you show videos of like your son kind of getting his first hit. Like that's biblical community, authentic biblical community. When like somebody in your family is sick and you say, would you pray for them? Or you're struggling with your marriage, and in all that, God is being glorified. That's the whole reason why we do groups here. Partnership groups. So we can create a place for all of us to grow deeper in our faith to God, relationship to Him, with each other. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. So I can't say, hey, sign up for partnership this morning. I will say, I'm only speaking for myself, that if you want to come to the parenting group, feel free, see me afterwards. I want to just ask you again that question, leave you with that. This is why we do groups, but why not me? I think most of you would probably already say, I know the reason why I'm not. And so here's what I would say. Are you able to trust the gospel, what Jesus has done? Again, not to make you feel guilty, I can't do that anyway. But like, what, can I trust the gospel in that area to be able to make time, to be able to sacrifice, to be able to deal with that annoying person that I know is in that group that I want to go to? And the other part is, if you're here this morning, you've zoned me out all morning because I talk too much, number one, and because like you're not following Jesus for whatever reason, but maybe you're a little curious, man, I give you an open invitation. Because some of you might want to ask that question. Like, what does that mean, grace? What is that gospel? Like, what? Or just ask those questions, or tell me I'm wrong. Tell us that we're wrong. That's the place for you to do that. And I promise that we will not gang up on anybody in the context of those groups. We will not be disrespectful to anybody in the context of those groups. But we're just going to wrestle together. And in that, man, God's doing something. Because here's the thing. If you're here this morning not following Jesus, I'm so convinced that regardless of how you came here this morning, and whoever you came with this morning, that you're here because the gospel called you. So I'm just extending an invitation to you to, like, hey, seek out maybe another way to ask some questions. And we've created a place to do that. Would you pray with me this morning?